Hey, this is Jeff Ratcliffe here. Let's talk about the value in daily fantasy for a minute. The big prizes, yeah, they're attractive, but you have to finish in the top 2% out of thousands of experts to win any real money. So even on your best day, you still feel like you're losing. Now you can play something better. Stat Hero. Stat Hero is a house-based game that combines the best of daily fantasy and survivor pools. Each Stat Hero contest lasts multiple days, but requires only one entry fee, so your money lasts longer. Yes, you can play multiple days with only one entry fee. Stat Hero gives you a smaller contest and more chances to win, and no more competing with sharks or experts ever, because your only competition is Stat Hero itself. Survive the game and download Stat Hero today and see how the face of daily fantasy has changed. Finally, a game designed for the rest of us. Stat Hero now open for NFL and NBA. For more information, please visit stathero.com.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
What is up? It's the Pro Football Focus Fantasy Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it's Monday, January 20th, 2020. A lot of 20s. 2-0, 2-0, 2-0 today. But hey, I tell you what, that was an entertaining day of football. We had some overs there, and it went to chalk, as we expected. I've said all along, Kansas City's been my favorite to win the Super Bowl. This is going to be a very close Super Bowl, though. And the Vegas lines certainly indicate that right now, to open things up, super tight. Kansas City is the favorite, but right now we're showing anywhere from 1.5 to 1, depending on the book that you're looking at. You'll see, yeah, pretty much almost split, basically what I'm seeing around the industry here for Kansas City. So giving 1.5, giving 1 point, over under 54. It's going to be the anti-last year's Super Bowl, anti-Super Bowl 53 here. Exciting times indeed, but I do have a lot to talk about from yesterday's games. So we will recap the games and we'll give you a little post-mortem on the Tennessee Titans and Green Bay Packers. So let's kick it off with the first game yesterday, Kansas City getting by the Tennessee Titans.
Second down and 10, Mahomes is in the gun. He's flanked by his running back, his arms extended, three wide, gets the snap, four-man rush, moves up, he gets a block, he runs to the near side, he's on the numbers, he breaks a tackle at the 30, comes to the near side, breaks another tackle, down the sideline, 25-20, got a block at the 10, cuts inside, 5, he's in! What a run! Touchdown, Kansas City! Patrick Mahomes!
So yeah, I didn't hit the under on Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards. But I tell you what, the props article over at PFF.com, I went 17 and 10 in my recommendations. So if you just played those recommendations, you made some money yesterday. But regardless, wow, Patrick Mahomes, an absolute stud in this game yet again. Goes for 294, the three passing scores, two end zone throws again. So he's not thrown to the end zone a ton, but man, that run was just awesome. And it's not like he's Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's certainly quite an athlete, but it's not like he, you know, he's blazing fast. But man, just so pretty. So much fun to watch this. And as we expected, as I predicted, we did get a bounce back game from Tyreek Hill. Not a massive yardage day, not a massive catch day. He was out caught and out gained by Sammy Watkins. But still, 5 for 67 and 2 scores. Speaking of the aforementioned Sammy Watkins, he had a big day. 7 for 114 and a touchdown for him. Relatively quiet day for Travis Kelce, but I'm not worried about him for the Super Bowl. 3 for 30. Didn't really have to do that much. And Damian Williams continues to perform well. Got in the end zone. Not a huge efficiency day or anything along those lines, but got in the end zone with 45 yards and then added 44 with 5 catches as a receiver. So solid all around there. Excited to see what this team is going to do, because boy, do they have a tough matchup on the other side of the ball. But let's do a little post-mortem here for the Tennessee Titans. And hey, it looked like it was almost going to happen again. No. I mean, hey, Tennessee got out to a lead, but boy, that Kansas City offense is just so impressive. And what we saw early in this was a lot of Derrick Henry. And then once they weren't in the lead, that went away. 19 for 69, did get in the end zone early, 2 for -8 as a receiver. I took unders on rushing yards, receiving yards, and rushing and receiving yards. All three of those hit on Derrick Henry. So solid there for the bets. Not necessarily solid for fantasy. But hey, if you used him in one and done, you probably used him before this point. And if you were in some other format, you got 3 weeks out of him. And that's pretty much all you can ask for the most part. 4 weeks is insane. For any playoff league. So Derrick Henry, solid playoffs. The question with him, of course, doing a postmortem, what uniform is he in next year? Is he in a Tennessee Titans uniform? I can't necessarily see that happening just because of how much he's going to command. But then again, is he going to command that? This is going to be a fascinating free agency given his state, given Melvin Gordon. I mean, this is a really, really interesting year for running backs, and certainly this is a kind of rubber meets the road year as well. Ryan Tannehill as well is not technically a Tennessee Titan just yet for next year, but I do think he sticks around. Whether or not that is on a franchise tag, we shall see. But he threw the ball a little bit more in this one, had the 2 passing scores, threw to the end zone, in fact, 3 times in this contest, and didn't get a lot done on the ground, but he did have 1 run there where, you know, you continue to see, oh, yeah, he can move, and that's going to be added fantasy points there for Ryan Tannehill in the future. I think we're going to view him as more of a quarterback 2 play, though, next year, or at least in fantasy draft season. So we shall see, and best ball season as well, which is coming up pretty darn soon. But we'll see. Ultimately, I do expect him to be back in Tennessee. In terms of the wideouts, A.J. Brown rebounded a little bit in this one, had 51 yards on 3 catches, so it still was an under. I think the line I was getting was 62.5 in a bunch of books. Anyway, we saw Corey Davis wake up in this one and see 8 targets, caught 5 for 65. That was not an under for him on either accounts. I do think going forward, though, A.J. Brown is the clear guy if they can. I just don't know if there's going to be enough meat on the bone, honestly. I'd love to tell you there is. And it's the Corey Davis is almost in Brokeback territory for me now. I don't know how to quit him, but it really does. It does look like AJ Brown is the future here in terms of the number one receiver, and that's how I'm gonna rank him as such. Corey Davis won't be inside the top 50 in my next update, which I'll do another update in February after the Super Bowl. So we did the initial one at the very end of the NFL season last month. And then we'll circle back to that. But anyway, other than that, of course, I've mentioned numerous times that I am big on Jonnu Smith going forward. I think he is going to be a long-term viable fantasy starter. I don't think he's going to be an elite-level guy, but is he going to be better than 3 for 32? Well, yeah, and he was yesterday. He was 3 for 38, so there you go. But I do think that begins now. Next year, we view him as a top 15 guy, and then potentially starts working his way up because some of these guys are getting older up there. Let's not forget that. Travis Kelce's no spring chicken. And in fact, this is the game where maybe we see that proverbial torch passed to George Kittle. How exciting is that? So let's get into the other game here. Green Bay just didn't have enough yet again against the San Francisco 49ers.
Second down and 10. They give us to Raheem Mostert. Mostert sweeping the left side, cuts back at the 10. Mostert at the 5, and he's into the end zone for the 4th time tonight. This time from 22 yards out, and Raheem Mostert extends the Niner lead to 33-7.
Mostert, baby. We did talk about it on the pod last week, and I said, hey, I just think he's still the lead guy. I said it was close. I'm not saying I was hammering him and just saying, oh, he's clearly ahead. And let's be clear, the Tevin Coleman did get hurt, so that certainly helped the cause. But I am also a man of my word in that on air on SiriusXM, you know, sometimes the content, I know it overlaps. If you listen to both, I appreciate you, especially if you listen to both. But I do some things on there that I don't do on here. I do some things on here that I don't do on there. One thing that I did on SiriusXM last week, though, is I looked at the odds for passing yards leader, rushing yards, receiving yards. And the rushing yards, given the odds, I think it was plus 1,000. I said Raheem Mostert is a guy who I'm going to place some shekels on. I also yesterday had a wager on Raheem Mostert 85 plus rushing yards, 17 plus carries, 1 plus rushing touchdown. So yeah, and that was plus 1600. And he blew that out of the water. I had a couple plays in there like that. I had a Kelce play that didn't hit. I had an A.J. Brown play that didn't hit. But the Mostert play hit, and it hit for far more than I laid for all three of those. So basically, and if you're wondering, like, how did you know that? Well, I didn't know it. If I knew it, I would have bet a whole heck of a lot more than what I actually bet. But the whole thing about being an effective bettor is pinpointing the lines that you think are the most likely to be successful. And I'm not doing that based on a whim, right? I'm doing that based on a lot of different factors. And that one just really stood out to me. And granted, yes, I got a little bit of help. But to be fair, even if Tevin Coleman was healthy, they were a rotating series. And I thought that Mostert looked a little bit more effective early on. He looked like he had just a little bit more burst against the defense. And granted, that could be me seeing things through rose-colored glasses after the fact. But regardless, it happened. It's the second most rushing yards single game performance in NFL history. I mean, in a postseason where we saw Derrick Henry making history with his two performances, both top 20 performances, Mostert blew it out of the water. There's only one player in NFL history in the postseason who's had more rushing touchdowns in a single game than Raheem Mostert put up in this one. This was impressive. This one is, I love this, especially because he plays with a chip. I'm somebody, I have a chip on my shoulder. It's the way I am. I don't know. I'll tell you about it later. But I love that. I love that mentality. And he has that mentality. He's been passed over. I live in the Philadelphia area. I was telling people, you know, he could have been a Philadelphia Eagle. He was on the practice squad. He was a preseason all-star for the Eagles. And it wasn't just the Eagles. It was numerous teams. Preseason all-star, never got it done in the regular season or the postseason for that matter. Well, now he has. And it's been in the last roughly 2 months when this has been taking place. Kudos to Raheem Mostert. The question about next year, though, Raheem Mostert's no spring chicken. I don't know if he's necessarily just the guy there in San Francisco. So it'll be an interesting offseason. But of course, we still have one more game to see from him. And really, that was it in this one. We had a little Debo. To be fair, I'll give him credit where credit's due. He had 89 scrimmage yards, but only 4 touches. Allegedly, Emmanuel Sanders played in this game. Allegedly, Jimmy Garoppolo played in this game. Allegedly, George Kittle played in this game and 1 for 19, but it's okay. They went after it. They got the lead. They did what they wanted to do. The Super Bowl is not going to be the same kind of game. The Super Bowl is not going to be a game where they just, and in theory, yes, you could run it down Kansas City's throat and Kansas City could come back and score in 45 seconds. And then you're going to try and do it again. And eventually, if they get a 3-and-out and Kansas City goes down and scores again, now you're in passing mode, right? So I don't think they're going to be able to execute the same game plan. Green Bay, for what it was worth, it was the quietest 13-3 regular season that I can remember. They just didn't have the firepower. But credit where credit's due for what they did this season, for sure. We'll see what the future lies for those guys, though. I'll get to them in just a second, but just to tie a bow on this, don't expect to just see Raheem Mostert in the Super Bowl. And we'll see about Tevin Coleman. The word is right now that he still is potentially going to try and play in the Super Bowl, so the injury isn't as bad as it initially looked. It looked bad. When a guy's carted off for a wrist, that's typically really bad. Good to hear that it isn't as bad. Anyway, moving over to the other side, and you know, really the stats in this one, a lot of it is basically garbage time once the game got out of hand. We saw Aaron Jones. I thought Aaron Jones looked great in this game. He looked great. He just didn't touch the ball enough, especially as a runner. 12 for 56, touchdown. Looked great. He had a receiving touchdown, 5 for 27. Just get the ball in his hands. Anyway, didn't get enough of him. I'm excited for him next year, though. Another double-digit target game. So this is 10 of his last 11 games, double-digit targets for Devontae Adams. 9 catches for a 138. Beautiful game for him. Obviously, the outcome wasn't great, but just another game where even in a tough matchup, it didn't matter. Let's keep it our secret. We're going to keep this our secret. He is every bit of an elite fantasy receiver, and I don't think he's going to be viewed that way. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. You know, I often talk about this, and it was interesting being at the FSGA conference, being around a lot of other folks from the industry, but I try to segregate myself. That's why I don't spend all day on Twitter. You may notice that if you follow me. If I'm tweeting something, it's probably important, or it's a really bad joke, which I guess to me is important, but I don't like to follow what other people are saying. I don't want to read other people's stuff. I don't want to know what they're thinking because I don't want it to change what I'm thinking. I want to give you my analysis, not somebody else's, my analysis. So I don't know. It's the sense that I'm getting, though, from reading the tea leaves, and especially the sense that I'm getting from hearing from fantasy players like you listening to this podcast, that people are down on him a little bit. Not a ton. Not like saying, oh, he's the number 20 wide receiver, but more like saying he's like the number 6 or 7 or 8 fantasy receiver. And if that happens, I like that. I like that right there, because that means a little bit of value. Not, it's hard to get value in the first couple rounds of a fantasy draft. That would be one of those opportunities. And Aaron Jones, by the way, the nice thing is that I think all questions are answered, that he is so far and away ahead of Jamal Williams. And Jamal Williams is really just a career backup type. He's good enough to be a backup. He showed us things at times, but he is, there's light years of a difference between these two. And this was something that I didn't have in my evaluation of these guys that I will have going forward. And the thing about it that I'm not going to underestimate for the future, and especially as I'm starting my evaluations for rookies now for fantasy purposes, is the sheer impact of athleticism. It's not the most important thing in the world, but when you have two guys who are, you know, relatively in a similar area in terms of my rankings, I am going to now look at who is the more superior athlete, and that was clearly Aaron Jones in this case, even going back. I mean, I noted it. I look back at my notes, and it's like, why was I not higher on him? But, you know, hey, hindsight. Anyway, Jimmy Graham, I think, you know, we're really starting to see the end of Jimmy Graham, but he did go 4 for 59 in this one, so causing me to not get my receptions prop. Thanks, Jimmy Graham. But Jay Sternberger was the one who got in the end zone. 2 for 13 for Jay Sternberger. He is the future for that team. Aaron Rodgers, man, it's frustrating to not see him have... All it really was that one more player. And in this one, I mean, this year, MVS flamed out. Jake Kumerow, just a guy. Lazard had 3 for 36 in this one. So, you know, but he didn't burst onto the scene. He just kind of beat out everybody else. Allison, 2 for 8. You know, there's no other guy. When you look at when Aaron Rodgers was really successful, it typically was this guy and this guy, James Jones and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. This year, or Jordy Nelson and Davante Adams and Randall Cobb. This year it was Davante Adams. And that was it. That's why it's really remarkable they went 13-3 and he was hurt for a month. Crazy. But Rodgers has still got to be considered, you know, in the quarterback one conversation. But we got to see what they end up doing. I'm curious if this team does attack the wide receiver class this year, and not on day three, but day two. I don't know about day one, but day two especially, it'd be really intriguing. And wide receivers sometimes can really hit the ground running in the NFL. We saw it this year with some of the rookies. So anyway, Rodgers, his long-term stock, though, is on the decline. I guess, unfortunately, that doesn't mean it's the best time to trade him in a dynasty, because you're not going to get what you ordinarily would in return unless you have somebody who still perceives him that way, because he's getting up there. And I would definitely be looking to move on from him. I want to stay as young as I can in a dynasty league. Anyway, so here's the deal. It's Pro Bowl week, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop. We're still going to do our regular three pods this week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the same thing next week. Didn't do it last week because of obviously the FSGA conference, But we'll do that. We'll get us all set up here. I may do some pro. I have not decided yet if I'm going to do Pro Bowl content per se for DFS. It can be fun. We're doing a little bit of research to see if there's anything we can find. If it's more than just a crapshoot, I'll give you some thoughts. Otherwise, though, we have some really good content coming up. And what we're going to do in the middle of the week here is we're going to look at overachievers, underachievers for fantasy purposes in the 2019 season. Because, hey, we did a postmortem on all the players in the playoffs, but we really didn't do a postmortem for the entire league just yet. And I think that's important because as we're starting to think forward to 2020, I mean, who were the outliers? Who were the guys on both sides? You know, guys who we are probably going to value too highly because of their performance in 2019 and vice versa. Expected production, expected fantasy points can give us a lot of that insight. So I'll talk a little bit about that. It's a great stat. We're going to have more on that in 2020 at PFF anyway. So that'll be coming up on Wednesday's pod. In the meantime, though, you can do me a favor and follow me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe if you don't already. And we're growing that Instagram. We're doing it for the gram, baby. At Jeff Ratcliffe on the gram as well. Did I really say that? Anyway, PFF.com is the website. And I will catch you on Wednesday for another edition of the pod. For PFF, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.